We discussed some preparations of the meal. We're going to now talk a little bit about personal preparation, cleaning the house, and getting a person themselves ready. So we are in general, the discussion of cleanliness is the first siman in Chelek Gimel. That's Resh Mem Beis. Right now, we're going to flip to Resh Nun. It's Resh Mem Beis, Resh Nun, and Resh Samach. Those are the simanim that we're discussing. So if everyone could flip to Resh Nun. So the Mishnah Berurah there in Sifkat and Gimel. Again, part of the reason is we're going to read the Makaros inside. Others is just that it's good to know where it is, because by knowing where it is, you'll be able to, on your own, find it and review it. So in Gimel, he tells us, Mitzvahs Kibbut Shabbos is mutal al kol adam. Every person has a chiyuv. And a little bit later there in the piece, he speaks about, very interesting, removing the spider webs, cleaning the house from spider webs, preparing the house like you would if there was a guest. You know, in the corner and the ceiling, sometimes you've got those spider webs. So sticking the broom up there and getting the spider webs down, whatever you would do in order to prepare the home to receive a guest. That's what the Mishnah Berurah tells us in Sifkat and Gimel. So this is one of those areas where kavod and oneg overlap each other. Because we said kavod is defined by the things we do before Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos, to be mechabed Shabbos. And oneg are the things that we do in order to enjoy Shabbos. So I don't know about you, but for me, to have a clean house is very enjoyable. So there's an element of kibud, preparing for Shabbos, because you're not going to invite a king into your house when your house is dirty. So there's an element of preparation. And in addition to that, there's an element of oneg, to have a nice clean house. You know, here in Eretz Yisrael, we have the balatot, you know, we have the tiles on the floor. So to walk barefoot on a clean tile is a very different experience than to walk on the tile in the middle of the week. So we've got a clean house. Shulchan Aruch, if you flip back, sorry, we're going to keep flipping a little bit here today. If you flip back to Resh Mem Beis, Resh Mem Beis, first siman in Chelek Gimel. So here, in the Shulchan Aruch itself, we'll read again from the beginning. We said, Afilu Misha Tzarech L'Acherim, Im Yesh Lo Ma'at Mishalo, Tzarech L'Zariz Atzma L'Chabed Es HaShabbos, even if a person normally needs some financial help, but whatever he has, he should try to be Mechabed Shabbos. Lo omru asei shabbat chachol v'yaltit tzarech lebrios elu l'misha asha d'chuka lo. I'm going to go a few more words after that. Mitakonos Ezra, shiu mechabsin begodim b'chamishi b'shabbos mipnei kavod Shabbos. Ezra was masaking to clean the clothing on Thursday in order so that on Shabbos you'll have clean clothing. Why Thursday? Isn't it better to do it on Friday? It is better, but laundry, at least back then, laundry took a long time. They didn't just throw it in the machine and, you know, press the button. So laundry took a long time. And they didn't want to take away from the other Shabbos preparations. So you clean the clothing on Thursday. That way on Friday, you have clean clothing. And again, to go into Shabbos clean is enjoyable, but it's also Mechabed Shabbos. Very interesting. You know, if you're for Yeshiva Bacher, so Sif Katan Hay is a little bit of a problem. He says your clothing should be white. And tzorich li zohir shelo leilich b'cholok echad kama shabbosos. You can't have your Shabbos shirt that you wore last Shabbos and you take it off and it's not so creased. So you put it back on a hanger and you save it till next Shabbos. You say, it's a different shirt. You know, during the week I wear my regular shirts and on Shabbos I have my Brooks Brothers shirt. So I'll save that and put that on for Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah goes out of his way to stress that it should be freshly laundered. Freshly laundered shirt is kavod Shabbos. And this ostensibly, this means even if the shirt is clean, it's better for it to be laundered. Okay, personal preparation. So we've spoken about cleaning the house, cleaning the clothing. I didn't go through our questions for today. But one of the questions was, you know, if your child comes to you and says, do I really have to shower? I showered last night. So does he really need to shower for Shabbos? So if you look in Siman Reish Samach, okay, we said Reish Mem Beis, Reish Nun, and Reish Samach. So if you look in Reish Samach, Mitzvah Lirchotz, Kol Gufo, Vim Yef Sherlo, Yirchotz Panavi Adu Viraglov, Becham and Berav Shabbos. You have to realize that in the times of the Shulchan Aruch, this was not an easy thing to fulfill, to wash your entire body. They didn't have showers like we have showers. To wash the entire body meant going to a bathhouse. It was a procedure. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says Panav Yado Viraglov, your face, your hands, your feet. That at least you should wear that. Lachof Harosh, to wash your hair. The Ramah throws in your whole body if you're able to. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch was written by Rav Yosef Caro, who was from Spain, kicked out of Spain, one of the people who was expelled from Spain. And he was from a family that was expelled from Spain, and he went to Tzfat. Shulchan Aruch was probably written in Tzfat, in Eretz Yisrael, at least finished up in Tzfat, in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramah lived in Krakow, in Poland. So we were cross cultures and cross countries, but the Shulchan Aruch says, wash your hands, your face, your feet, wash your hair. The Ramah throws in your whole body. Also here we're told, and this is based on a Gemara, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chaf Hei, says that, yeah, if you look in the Ber Agola, so he tells you the source, Shabbos Chaf Hei, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, that's those of us in Eretz Yisrael, so we're already holding by Lag BaOmer, so Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, his big Rav Shimon, everyone talks about Rav Shimon in the Zohar, but we have to remember, Rav Shimon is Stam Rav Shimon in the Mishnah. Whenever the Mishnah says Rabbi Shimon, it's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, his big chavrusa was Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi. Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi, it says in the Gemara there how he would wash himself and wash every Erev Shabbos, l'chavot Shabbos, and that certainly is covered for Shabbos. And in the Mishnah Berurah, though, he tells you, umikol makom, ein zechova gemura, but if you do it, it's very praiseworthy. Umeod yesh li zor shlo yavo yedei mitzvah sarachitza l'chshash chel Shabbos. Don't get into a situation of Chil Shabbos because you're trying to make sure that you wash. If it's too close, you know, how many more minutes are left in the 18 minutes as you're turning on the shower? So that's not what you're supposed to do, says the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that you should make sure that you're done washing and drying yourself and all the possible Isurim. It's better to make sure you finish all of that way before Shabbos. V'roi l'chomi shenoga yiras Hashem belibo. Anyone who has any yiras shamayim should make sure that B'nai Beiso, that people in his family, that everyone is making sure that even though they're washing themselves, they make sure that they do it way before Shabbos, not to be Mechal Shabbos. I would tell you, if you've ever tried showering 2 or 3 hours before Shabbos and getting into Shabbos clothing 3 hours before Shabbos, it's a whole different experience than rushing into the shower, you know, 20 minutes before Shabbos. It's a whole different experience. Try it. Try it this Shabbos, 3 hours before Shabbos, if you can. Obviously, not everybody can, but now a lot of people are in the house anyway. So try to shower 3 hours before Shabbos and get dressed in Shabbos clothes. It's a whole different experience. I remember when I was in Washington Heights in Yeshiva, I remember there was an older man who used to sit out on a bench on Erev Shabbos, fully dressed for Shabbos. Friday afternoon, you know, 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon. And that's a little bit that piece that we read from Reb Soloveitchik last week about how he doesn't lament Chil Shabbos. He knows people keep Shabbos, but he laments the fact that there aren't Erev Shabbos Jews, that people who wait with excitement for Shabbos. So that's all part of our kavod, all of this preparation for Shabbos. We're mentioning Rabbi Shimon, so the Zohar brings down to go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. Some people have that minhag. A lot of people do not. It's based on a Zohar, but it's understood, at least in the light of this inyan of Kavod Shabbos, of preparing yourself. If you're going to prepare yourself physically, so the Zohar argues, you should also prepare yourself spiritually. And that's actually a very interesting addition that the Mishnah Berurah makes back in Resh Mem, in Gimel. I skipped it before, but if you look back in Gimel, in Resh Mem Gimel, excuse me, Resh Nun, in Resh Nun Gimel, so he says to do tshuva on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, to do tshuva, which is an interesting perspective, but it highlights this idea as well. Now, I would argue that if you're not going to go, the Rambam has a lashon in Mishnah Torah that a person could be tovel b'mei hadas. A person could be tovel in the waters of the intellect. It's spiritual. It purifies a person. So whether you're a Zohar Yid who goes to the mikvah, or whether you're a Rambam Yid who is going to purify himself by sitting and learning a Daf Gemara, but the idea here is to spiritually prepare yourself as well. And this idea of doing tshuva before Shabbos, it's a very nice idea that the Mishnah Berurah adds. Okay, I'm just finishing up here in Reish Samach. So in Mishnah Berurah Vav, he notes that, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, that says you should also cut your nails. This is the source in the Mishnah Berurah. I'm sure people have heard of different practices based on Sakana or Kabbalah about cutting nails. So not to cut fingernails and toenails on the same day, or a certain order of cutting your nails, which fingers to do first. So that's all quoted in this Mishnah Berurah here, Vav. So we're not going to get into it now, but you could take a look if you ever wanted to know what's the source. People ask this discussion about cutting nails in a certain order. And so it's all in this, in Vav over here. He makes reference to all of it. And he talks about burying your nails or throwing them away, not leaving them around, lying around. So that's all over here in Vav, but this is part of preparation for Shabbos, to cut your nails as well. Okay, just to conclude the preparations for Shabbos, there are two other halachas that are highlighted on Erev Shabbos, but very specifically at the moment right before Shabbos. Not early on Erev Shabbos, but to be done right before Shabbos. One of them is based on the pasuk of, quoting a pasuk, Toameha Chayim Zachu. Toameha, the lashon of tasting. And this is the practice, it's brought down the practice to taste some of the Shabbos food before Shabbos. Right? This is, I always say, this is what the husband pulls out of his back pocket when his wife catches him picking on the Shabbos food. So he tells her, no, it's a mitzvah. I have to be mekayim Toameha Chayim Zachu. I have to taste the food. So here again, like we pointed out about spending on Shabbos, right? We said a person can go and spend thousands of dollars on Shabbos and say and buy all this exquisite food and say, oh, it's covered, it's Onik Shabbos. And you have to always question, is this really Onik Shabbos, or is this for Shabbos, or this is for you? So we have a similar issue here with tasting the food to make sure it's tasty for Shabbos. So again, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to sit and pig out on Erev Shabbos and you know, eat half the kugel and eat all the meat out of the chalent. The idea is to taste a little bit to see if it needs a little spice, if it's ready for Shabbos. And that's also, obviously, Kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos. If you were having a very chashuv guest, you wouldn't just throw some food together and serve it to them. You would taste it first to make sure that it's spiced well, that it tastes good. And, again, this is the dovetailing of Kavod and Onik, because you will also enjoy the food on Shabbos more if it's tasty. If it's not salted enough, if it's too salted, you won't enjoy it. So here again, we have a kavod and oneg dovetailing. And the last halacha we'll mention is also in Reish Samach. We still have Reish Samach out, open in Sif Beis. And I think now we've basically covered all the Si'ifim in these three Simonim. In Beis, he tells us, when it's close to Chashecha, Yishal Anshe Beiso, the Lashon Raka, you ask your family members, Isartem, Eravtem, Ifrashtem Chala. This is a Mishnah that we're familiar with from Bamei Madlikin. And I want to point out two things. First of all, the Mishnah there in Bamei Madlikin, a lot of people don't realize how to read the Mishnah. It says there, Isartem, did you take off Trumas and Maisers? And now I take off Trumas and Maisers on Shabbos. Eravtem, did you set up the Erev? And Hidliku is Haner? No, what do you mean? Why are you asking Hidliku is Haner? Just look if she lit the candles or not. Can't you see the candles? So the Rishonim point out that that's not how you read it. You read it, the first two are questions, the third one is a statement. Isartem, Eravtem, everything's good, okay. Hidliku es haner, right? Now everything's taken care of, we're ready to go. You know, now that we're all home, so I've been making early Shabbos, which we're going to talk about in 2 or 3 weeks. We'll have a shiur on early Shabbos and all the details of early Shabbos. And sometimes, depending on what's going on in the house, and we'll see how halachically it's mutter, how we'll see how halachically ideal it is, but there's always other factors. So sometimes we will be Makabel Shabbos, be Makabel Shabbos, and then we're going to go right to the Suda. We'll dive Marav later. There's some communities that even have a Marav Minyan later. So especially when we're Makabel Shabbos early, even if you do regular Kabbal Shabbos early, maybe Makabel Shabbos early, but you're davening B'Yechidus, know, now we're starting to have some minyanim, and we have some people zochet have minyanim on their porches. But I've been having to daven the yichidus for a lot of the minyanim. So it's Erev Shabbos. I check. Are all the lights good? Okay. Hidlikos on air. Let's get started. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. That's one ha'ara I wanted to make. The other is very, just have to, once you notice it, it's just a very beautiful thing. The Shulchan Aruch adds two words into the Mishnah. What does he write in? The Lashon Raka, which means softly, gently. Mishnah doesn't say that. Mishnah says, you know, tell you, Sartim, Eravtim, but the Shulchan Aruch throws in the Lashon Raka. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that you do it, first of all, why do you say it gently? First of all, you do it because people are more receptive when you speak gently to them. When you're confrontational, people are less receptive. Number two, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that it's very bad if you have a house run where everybody's scared. The Gemara says you end up doing surim if people are scared, because if the wife realizes that the food isn't cooked, she might chas v'shalom cook it on Shabbos if she's nervous that her husband's going to yell and scream at her. So therefore, it's very important, or a child can be concerned the parent's going to yell. So therefore, it's very important that you do things without too much anger. And I'll end this little section here just with what we quoted last week from the Sefer Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim writes, we said Sefer Hasidim are not Hasidim in the Baal Shem Tov Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim are Rishonim, Yudah Chassid. So he writes, V'chibadito, in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, V'chibadito, how are you Mechabed Shabbos? Yechabed is a Shabbos shelo yariv bo. Be Mechabed Shabbos by not fighting on Shabbos. That's how you're Mechabed Shabbos. So very appropriate, I think, to this last sif here, that you have to make sure everything's taken care of in the house, but you do it b'lashon raka. Okay, we are going to be beginning a new section right now. Very excited for this section. It's a topic that I very much, very much enjoy. And I'm going to hopefully send you some pictures later that I took tonight on my back porch with David, who I see is with us, so he gets to enjoy the same view as me off the back porch. But for learning the Zmanim, so you get to really, when you have a back porch that has a big open view, so you really get to start to feel a little bit what our ancestors, when they would see the moon every night, they would see the stars every night, they were much more sensitive to factors of the moon and the moon's movement. So I'm going to just start off with one or two questions just to get our minds thinking. I see Simcha. I see you asked a question. Simcha, you want to ask your question?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the questions, you know, we like to start with a question before we learn a topic, just that we can have a little bit of a direction of where we're going. Question number one is, when does the day begin in halacha? How do you define the beginning of the day in halacha? That's question number one. Question number two, which is obviously related to that question, when does Shabbos really start? 40 minutes before, 30 minutes before, 20 minutes before, 18 minutes before, or what about just plain old Shkia? Or is it even Shkia? Maybe it starts after Shkia. So we have to figure out, when does Shabbos start? What's a Chumrah? What's Ikar Adin? And when does Shabbos end? 13 and a half minutes after Shabbos? After Shkia? 13 and a half minutes after Shkia? Is that possible? 36 minutes after sunset? 50 minutes? 72 minutes? 96 minutes? These are all different minhagim. And we're going to need to understand where they come from. How do we define when Shabbos begins and when Shabbos ends? So we need to understand a little bit about Zmanim and Halacha. So we all know that the Halachic day begins at night. Vayi erev, vayi voker. We know that the day begins at night. The question is, when is night in Halacha? So let's just contrast it to the morning. Morning, Halacha makes much less of a big deal about morning, because morning doesn't impact so many Halachos. Morning, we assume, begins when the first ray of light appears, which is what we call Alos HaShachar. And then when the actual disk of the sun appears, that's called Netzach Hama. The Gemara in Pesachim on Sadi Dal and Amar Aleph says that there's a 4 mil difference between Alos and Netz. 4 mil. Now, what's mil? Mil is a way to measure distance. Let's assume it's like a mile right now. And in Halacha, when we speak about Zmanim, So we speak about the amount of time it takes to, the amount of time it takes to say, to walk a mil. I see someone asked a question about when the Shulchan Aruch here talks about Hidliku es haner. Does that mean that you literally have to say it? So it's an interesting question, right? The Shulchan Aruch says here, Vayomer Hidliku es haner. I never really thought of it. Hadliku, first of all, Hadliku, as Mishnah Berurah points out, because you're, it's a commandment. So he says here, interesting, the Mishnah Berurah is very machmir. The Mishnah Berurah says, if you're not home, so you're going to have to send someone else to send the message to your family. I don't know, I don't know. I'm not nohig to do it. I don't think people are so machmir on saying Hidliku es haner. I think most, I don't know, in my house, my wife is in charge on Arab Shabbos. She's telling me what to do. I'm not telling her what to do. So I'm not sure exactly, but I don't think people are knowing generally to do it. But, most of these halachos don't really apply so much. Isartem, Iravtem, we're not taking off Chumas and Maestros ourselves. We're buying things that are, and if we are, you know, I don't know, we're not really doing that on Erev Shabbos. Iravtem, we're not setting up an Erev Chatzeros so often. Erev Tchumen, you know, we're not doing most of these things. So I don't know, I would say, you know, off the cuff, that we're Mekayim Nizdin by reading Bamei Madlikin. It's hard enough to read Bamei Madlikin, right? A lot of people have trouble going through Bamei Madlikin, but maybe by reading the Mishnah, so it's like, you know, saying the Neshama Parm Sfasenu, by saying it, maybe we're Yotze. But I think in general, I understood it more, the spirit of the halacha here is that on Erev Shabbos, you're supposed to go through and make sure everything's set. You know, at least in my house, I know are all the lights set properly, or the Shabbos clock set? No, you have your checklist that you go through before Shabbos, and you say, okay, I think we're ready. As opposed to just rolling into Shabbos. You know, that was the imagery we gave last week. You know, someone rolls into Shabbos and the table isn't set yet, and they're not, and they're, you know, they wake up from their nap and it's already an hour into Shabbos, so they get dressed and they haven't washed. That's what we're trying to avoid. Okay, so back to our discussion here of a mil. So a mil is a machlokas, how long it takes to walk a mil. 18 minutes, 24 minutes. We're going to assume 18 minutes. So the Gemara in Pesachim says there are 4 mil between alos, again, the first time you see light, and nates, when you actually see the sun. So 4 mil is 72 minutes if you assume 18-minute mil. And that's what we assume, lahalacha, the Mishnah and Megillah tells us on Daf Chaf, that all mitzvos of the day, let's say bris milah, needs to be done during the day. So b'di'evid, you can do them already at alos, but we generally wait till nates. And the reason we wait till nates is because it's not clear exactly when the day begins, even though I just told you the day begins at alos. But the problem is that it seems like day and night, when I say day just now, I meant day like daylight, not day. The day begins at night. But the morning begins when there's light. And the problem with measuring things based on light and darkness is that light and darkness doesn't come immediately. It's a gradual process. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So let's talk about night. When does the night begin? Because that's what's really important. For the morning, everyone agrees, alos is when the morning officially starts, but we try not to do mitzvahs of the day until nates, 72 minutes later. Night is the bigger issue, because that's when Shabbos begins. That's when Yom Kippur begins. That's when Shabbos ends. By that time, a woman has to do a bedikah for nida. There are many, many halachos that are dependent on the exact moment. We need to know, when does the day start? When does the day end? When do I have to stop doing malacha? When can I start doing malacha? So even in the non-halachic world, in the civil world, we need to know when is night and when is day. And even the definition of night, which we assume is when darkness arrives, so it's not even clear in Cleveland, Ohio, when is night. And that is because, as we mentioned, the arrival of darkness is a gradual process, and that's because the earth is round. And that means that when the sun drops below the horizon and it continues underneath the earth, it is still emitting light that you're able to see until it goes so far under the curvature of the earth that you're no longer able to see light. But since it continues to light up the atmosphere, so that in-between period is what we call, in English, we call it twilight. Now, twilight is both the name of the period and the name of the light. The light that the sun shines into the atmosphere after it's already dropped below the horizon is called twilight. And there are a bunch of different twilights, and there are a bunch of different definitions in night. If I don't know how many of you got the Makoro sheet, so I will I'm going to bring it up just for now onto the screen. But I put this at the end of the Makoro sheet. So let me just share my screen here for a second. So here in this image, so you see here, this is the horizon, this line. Let me maybe just get a thumbs up from someone. You're able to see my screen? People are able to see my screen? Okay. So here is the horizon. And when the sun, here's the sun, this little yellow dot. So here's sunset, as soon as it goes under the horizon. When it's 6 degrees under the horizon, that period is civil twilight. And they call it here civil dawn dusk, but we're going to call that civil night. That's night. Civil, what's called civil night in the United States and in the world. Another 6 degrees, nautical night. Another 6 degrees, astronomical night. And at that point, after 18 degrees, it's so dark, it won't get any lighter until morning. That's the darkest it'll get. That is official night. And they call that astronomical night because at that point, it won't get any darker. So the question is, in halacha, how do we define night? Which of these things, is it civil night? Is it nautical night? Is it astronomical night? How much darkness is enough? How much of the lack of light is enough in order for it to be considered nighttime? Now, in halacha, the Gemara says that as soon as stars come out, when you're able to see stars, that's enough darkness that it's now considered night, which is very nice. The only problem is there are many different stars, and the stars are many different sizes. Says of which kochavim are the stars that we're talking about. So maybe I'll also get a thumbs up, thumbs down. How many of you have the Makoro sheet either printed out or on your screen or able to access the Makoros I sent? Give me a thumbs up if you have access to them. Okay, so I'm going to read some of them inside. I see some people have it, some people don't, so I'm going to read some of them inside. The Gemara tells us, first of all, this is the source four, Kochav Echad Yom, Shnayim Bein Ashmashos, Shlosha Laila. So three stars is night. Amar Rav Yossi, this is not referring to big stars. It's not referring to Ketanim. Sorry, the lo kochavim ketanim she'enir me'am b'layla, ela be'nonim. It's in-between stars. So somebody give me a definition. What in the world is an in-between star? A medium-sized star. That's our issue. This is what part of the problem is how do you define night? The Gemara tells us you define it when it's dark enough that you can see three medium stars. Now, I remember as a kid running out at night and trying to look outside in the lawn looking for stars in the sky. Is Shabbos over yet? So my parents said, oh, go outside, you know, go look for the stars. So you look outside for the stars. So we thought, oh, one, two, three, okay, Shabbos is over. But I don't know, were those medium stars? How do we know Shabbos is over? We have to know if those are medium stars. But that's what the Gemara tells us. Night is called Seisa Kochavim. The big problem is that in halacha, because defining the day is so crucial, we have a period that's considered Safek night. And this is the Gemara on Lamed Daled. I will read the Gemara as a source number one. Tana Rabbanan, Bein Ashmashos, Safek min hayom umin halayla. Safek kulo min hayom, Safek kulo min halayla. We have a period called Bein Ashmashos, between the suns. Simple interpretation of what that means is the day is called the sun because we define the day based on the sun. Sun comes up, sun goes down. So Bein Ashmashos between means between the days. So there's a period between the days, which is unclear. Is that Yom or is that Laila? Safek Yom, Safek Laila. And the Gemara says, when does this start? Matilin oso l'chomer shnei yomim. So first of all, we have to treat that period with the chumra of both days. We have to consider it the previous day and the next day because we don't know Is it the end of the first day or is it the start of the second day? The Ezu ben Ashmashos, Misha Teshka Achama. This line is the controversial line that gets everything going in the Sugya. When is Ben Ashmashos? Ben Ashmashos starts Misha Teshka Achama, when the sun is Shaka, when it sets, when the sun sets. Okay, so how do you define the setting of the sun? A literalist would say, when the disk of the sun drops below the horizon, that's it. That's Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Part of the problem with defining it just based on when the sun drops below the horizon is, first of all, that's not how we define the morning. The morning was not defined when the sun comes up. The morning we define when the light comes up. Now, we said better to wait until the sun comes up to do mitzvahs because we're not sure exactly, so better to wait. But when did we start considering the day? As soon as light comes. There's light, and that's it. It's daytime. The other problem is, and I'm going to send you a picture. I took three pictures tonight. When the sun sets, it is still perfectly bright out. Very few people would look at that and say, oh, it's nighttime when the sun sets. Right when the sun sets, it's still very, very light outside. So the non-literalists say, you know what it means, Misha Teshka Chama? It means when the light sets, when the light leaves the earth. That's what it means, Misha Teshka Achama. So we're going to have to figure out and define for, and figure out a definition here of when is, what is Misha Teshka Achama? And this is going to be a very big machlokas hasugyos. And I'm going to, let's begin this discussion. So source number one is a Gemara in Shabbos, also on Lamed Dalet. We're going to have to do a little bit of numbers here, so stick with me here for the numbers. The Gemara in Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph says, when is Shir Ben Ashmashos? When is Ben Ashmashos? So the Gemara says, Shir Ben Ashmashos, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shlosha Chelkei Mil. 3/4 of a mil. So we said a mil is 18 minutes. 3/4 of 18 minutes, 13.5 minutes. 13.5 minutes. That is the shear of Ben Ashmashos. That's how long Ben Ashmashos is, which means between when the sun sets, whatever that means, Misha Tishka Achama, I'm not calling it sunset. Misha Tishka Achama, when the sun sets, until Tzeisa Kochavim is 13.5 minutes. That's what this Gemara says. I'm going to just to start to show you what's the challenge in this sugya. Just want to pull something up for you here. Ah. Okay, remember, we're talking about... Oops, sorry. Thought I had it here. If I don't have it. Okay, I don't have it in front of me right this second. Let's see. I'll give myself one more second to try to pull it up. I took a picture today. 10 minutes. 12 minutes. After... sunset. Now, again, according to this opinion, 13.5 minutes after Shkia is supposed to be Tzeisa Kochavim, where you can see the medium-sized stars. Okay, it's not coming up right now. If it comes up, I will share it with you. Okay. So, Shabbos, Gemara says 3/4 of a mil. That is the length of Ben Ashmashos. So, from Misha Teshka Achama, whatever that means, sunset, or setting of the sun, better, until night, Tzeitz Kochavim, is 3/4 of a mil. Then we have another Gemara. This is the Gemara in Psachim on Tzadi Dalet. Source number 3. Mishkiya Sachama via Tzeitz Kochavim, our boss milim. 4 mil. 4 mil is 72 minutes. So this is our Stirad Sugyas. Sugya number 1 says the length of Ben Ashmashos is 13 and a half minutes, 3/4 of a mil. The Sugya in Psachim says it's 72 minutes, 4 mil. It's a very big difference. So how do you work out this stira? So this is where we get to the famous opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Right? All of us have heard of Zman of Rabbeinu Tam. So this is where we get to the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says as follows. He says, there's no contradiction. They're talking about two totally different things. He says there are two shkiyas. There's an early shkiyah and a later Shkia. The early Shkia is when the sun sets, when the disk of the sun drops below the horizon, is no longer visible to the eye. At this day, it's still, at this point, it's still very light out. It's still day, al pi halacha. And that is what the Gemara in Pesachim was talking about when it said you have 72 minutes between Shkia Sachama and Ses Kochavim. That was talking about this first Shkia. And that is just an astronomical statement. It's not, it doesn't have halachic weight. It's not an issue in halacha. When that sun sets, it's still day, al pi halacha. And it's going to be 72 minutes until Tzeis HaKochavim. The second Shkia, he says, the second Shkia is what the other Gemara was referring to. That's 3/4 of a mil before Tzeis HaKochavim. So if we're doing the math, that means that once the sun, the disk of the sun sets, we count 3 1/4 mil, 3 1/4 mil, leaving over that last 75%, that last 0.75, which was the Gemara in Shabbos, because that's our period before Tzeis. Tzeis is 72 minutes after the sun sets. The Gemara that says Shkia is just 13 and a half minutes, that means the second Shkia. The second Shkia takes place right before Tzeis Kochavim, 58 and a half minutes after the disk of the sun has fallen. It emerges, according to him, that until that second Shkia, which is 58 and a half minutes after sunset, it's still light, according to Rabbeinu Tam. We haven't hit Bein HaShemashos. Remember, the Gemara has something, maybe this will be a clearer way to say it. The Gemara has something called Bein HaShemashos. Bein HaShemashos is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. When is Bein HaShemashos? The Gemara in Shabbos says explicitly, Bein HaShemashos is 13 and a half minutes before Tzeis Kochavim. That's the Lashon of the Gemara in Shabbos. Bein HaShemashos is 13 and a half minutes. It's 3/4 of a mil, 0.75 of a mil. Mil is 18 minutes. 13 and a half minutes before Tzeis Kochavim is Bein HaShemashos. But the other Gemara says that Shkia Sachama takes place 72 minutes before. So he says two different Shkias. There's the Shkia, there's the setting of the ball, of the disk of the sun. That's 72 minutes before Tzeis Kochavim. And Bein HaShemashos, though, is 13 and a half minutes before Tzeis Kochavim. It's 58 and a half minutes later. So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it is daylight all the way until 58 and a half minutes past sunset. That's the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. The Vilna Gaon argued on Rabbeinu Tam. And the Mishnah Berurah says that's also the opinion of the Gaonim, who lived before Rabbeinu Tam. And they work out the contradiction differently. They say there's only one Shkia. What is Shkia? Shkia is what we call sunset. It's when the sun sets. And as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, 3/4 of a mil later, 13 and a half minutes later, will be Tzeis Kochavim, will be nighttime. What about that Gemara in Pesachim that said 72 minutes? Says the Gaonim, that Gemara is just teaching you some astronomy. It's teaching you, you know when you can see all the stars? When it's pitch black. When's that? After 72 minutes. Remember, what's the definition of Tzeis Kochavim? Tzeis Kochavim is not when you can see all the stars. It's when you can see three medium stars. That's Tzeis Kochavim. So says the Gra, says the Vilna Gaon, the sun, the disk of the sun sets. 13 and a half minutes later is Tzeis Kochavim. Still could be light out. You just have to be able to see three medium stars. So it's a little dark. And then 58 and a half minutes after that, that's when you can see all the stars. But that has no halachic bearing. The Gra notes that 13 and a half minutes, though, is only basically at the solstice. It's only during Nisan. It's only when you have almost a very specific conditions in the sky, and you have to adjust it. So it's not going to be 13 and a half minutes. Sometimes it'll be 17 minutes. Sometimes it'll be 18 minutes. 13 and a half minutes meant on a specific time in the year. That's the shortest it will ever be. So what emerges, and I'm going to send you the notes so you'll be able to look over the math and get the math down. But what emerges is that we have a major machlokas between the Gaonim on the one hand and Rabbeinu Tam on the other hand. And if I needed to summarize it very quickly, I would tell you as follows. According to the Gaonim, Shkia means one thing. The sun sets. 13 and a half minutes later is, at least on at one point in the year, so we have to adjust it sometimes, 13 and a half minutes later is Tesa Kochavim. That's it. The day is over. This is why, during the week, many people, at least here in Eretz Yisrael, rely on the Gra. 18 minutes after Shkia, they daven Maariv. L'chadchila. Why? It's already nighttime. Oh, but it's not so dark. Doesn't matter if it's not so dark. The halachic day is not defined by dark. The halachic day is dark enough to be able to see three medium stars. Rabbeinu Tam said, no, there's two Shkias. There's the setting of the sun, which is a very nice, beautiful thing to look at, but that's not the halachic definition of the day. The halachic definition of the day, Shkia takes place much later. The day really begins and ends, the previous day ends, the new day begins, 72 minutes after Shkia. There'll be a 13 and a half minute period of Bein HaShemashos before that. So, if you hold like the Gra, when do you start Shabbos? Well, Shabbos is a Dioraisa, which means that we have to go to Chumrah. When do you start Shabbos if you're the Gra? When the ball of the sun drops beneath the horizon at Shkia. That's when you start Shabbos. Okay, maybe you don't have a perfect view. Maybe you don't want to take a chance. You do it a few minutes early. But theoretically, when does Shabbos begin for the Gra? Shabbos begins when the sun sets. That is when the Suffolk begins. And it's a Suffolk. We have to go to Chumrah. According to the Gra, when will Shabbos end? Well, we can't end it at Shkia because we have to go to Chumrah. So we're going to have to wait till the end of Shkia, the end of Bein HaShemashos, 13 and a half minutes later. So straight up for the Gra, and no one passed anything halacha l'maisa yet, we didn't finish the sugya, but straight, seemingly at this point for the Gra, Shabbos should start at Shkia. That's the beginning of Bein HaShemashos, when the sun sets. Shabbos should end 13 and a half minutes later when it says Chavim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, when should Shabbos begin? Shabbos should begin 58 and a half minutes after the sun sets. Just for your knowledge, it's very, very dark already at that time. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, you can do malacha after the sun sets, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. At 58 and a half minutes, Bein HaShemashos starts. So you have to stop doing malacha. And then 13 and a half minutes later, that's Vaday night. That's when you can end Shabbos, 72 minutes after Shabbos. So there's still a lot to see. The next thing we're going to have to discuss is how do we paskin? Who do we paskin like? The problem is that both of them seem to be against the reality of what we observe in the sky, meaning, at least here in Eretz Yisrael, and probably all the places that you all live, unless someone's logging in from the North Pole or Copenhagen. So in most places, 13 and a half minutes, you don't see any medium stars 13 and a half minutes after Shkia. And in most places, at 72 minutes after Shkia, it's already very, very dark. So we have to figure all this out and put all the pieces together. I'm going to send you the notes. And on the notes, I'm going to send you, it's really a fascinating table that I made that I want you to take a look at. I have in there, because we're going to be referring back to this, one, two, six locations. Yavne, that's where the Tanoim were. Neharda, that's where the Gemara, the Amoraim were. France, Ramrupt, Avi, I'm sorry I'm not pronouncing it properly. Ramru, France, which is where Rabbeinu Tam was from. Krakow, which is where the Rama was from. Radin, in Belarus, which is where the Chafetz Chaim was from. And New York City, where Rav Moshe Feinstein was from. These are all going to be opinions in this sugya. And I want you to see the difference. I have on there what time sunset is for today. Sunset, for instance, in Eretz Yisrael today was 7:27. In Radin, where the Chafetz Chaim lived, it's 9:08. It's a huge difference. 9 o'clock at night is sunset. And I want you to see the difference. To get to astronomical night in Israel takes 93 minutes. 93 minutes to get to pitch black. In Radin, where the Chafetz Chaim was, 218 minutes. 93 versus 218. So all these Rishonim and Achronim, we're going to try to figure out when Shabbos starts, but each one is in a different area and has very different realities going on around them. So we're going to try to make sense of all of this. I know it sounds like, oh gosh, next week is going to be very complicated. What we did today was the only complicated part. Next week is actually not going to be so complicated at all. But I advise you to go over, review some of the stuff that we spoke about. I'm going to send you some pictures. I took pictures outside of my house today, 12 minutes after Shkia, 25 minutes after Shkia, and 35 minutes after Shkia. And you'll see that 12 minutes after Shkia, it's still pretty light. 25 minutes, you'll be able to see a little bit of light. 35 minutes, it's already going to look pitch black. Okay, Emir Tzashem, we will continue with this next week. Everyone should have a great week. Yashakoch to everybody.